PFW Chicago Football Podcast Thanksgiving Edition is brought to you by Loot Crate. Head to lootcrate.com/Shaw. Use our promo code Shaw, S-H-A-W. You're going to get $3 off your first crate. And folks, we got a new crate for you. It is the month of December. It's time for a revolution. Fight the power and pave the way for a brighter tomorrow with December's Rebellious Crate, featuring exclusive items from Assassin's Creed, Mr. Robot, Firefly, and much, much more. Remember, you'll always get the monthly t-shirt and pin from Loot Crate. Yet, and once you subscribe, you'll get a Loot Crate every single month. Use our promo code Shaw, S-H-A-W, $3 off your first crate. Boy, oh boy, you didn't think things can get worse, but we're here to talk about it. Let's talk some Bears. Welcome to PFW Chicago Football Podcast Thanksgiving Edition. I'm your host, Kevin Fishbane. Follow me on Twitter at KFishbane. Joined by my producer, John Solly. Follow him on Twitter at JSolly. And all of our work at profootballweekly.com/Bears. You could follow our Bears content at Bears_insider. And if you're a Bears fan, you're probably thinking last Monday, well, things can't get worse than this.
The Bears au contraire.
Au contraire, my friend, mon ami. The Bears have just gone into Tampa and gotten their butts kicked by a very mediocre Tampa Bay Buccaneers team. This is coming off the week that the Bears were the most confident 2-6 team in the history of the NFL. So they get crushed by the Buccaneers. Then they lose Kyle Long for the season to an injury. Then Alshon Jeffrey gets suspended for 4 games. So like, okay, you know what? This is rock bottom. This is it. It's not going to get any worse. Then you go to New York, and the Bears march downfield. They go up 16-6. They might beat a playoff contending Giants team in New York. And then a couple bad plays in coverage, offense stalls, another interception from Cutler, protection breaks down. And then you go to next Monday. Jarrell Freeman, you have been suspended 4 games for PEDs. Josh Sitton got an ankle injury. Zach Miller out for the year. Friend of the program, of course, Zach Miller out for the year with a foot injury. Just brutal for Zach Miller. Bobby Massey, your starting right tackle, is out. And Jay Cutler with a reported torn labrum. And Bears fans are preparing for Matt Barkley and or David Fales at quarterback for the rest of the season. And whoever plays quarterback will not have Jeffrey for the next 3 games, Zach Miller for the rest of the year, Kyle Long for the rest of the year, Kevin White for the rest of the year, potentially Josh Sitton for the rest of the year. John Solly, is there anything? Give me a silver lining. Give me some optimism here about what we're expecting for the final. There's still 6 games left, by the way, for this Bears team.
The silver lining is the NFL draft, as far as I'm concerned. The rest of this season has obviously turned into an absolute embarrassment. I don't think we're on the level of Trestman 2014 just yet.
We're only 5 months away from that NFL draft.
That's true. But the Bears are racing towards that low bar of Trestman and Emery kind of burning the place down in 2014. So I think the optimism is looking at the NFL draft and what the Bears need and who are the best talents out there. As far as the on-field stuff you're going to see in the next 6 Sundays, I'm interested in what Jordan Howard can do the rest of the way. I'm interested in Cam Meredith's continued development. On the defensive side, I'd like to see more out of Jonathan Bullard. And the young defensive backs, they're going to certainly see plenty of playing time, and I know teams are going to go after him starting this week with Marcus Mariota. So I'm interested in some of the development of the younger players. But other than that, I think your focus kind of switches to Saturdays and how some of these guys are looking in their final college games.
Yeah, and the thing, too, you mentioned all those offensive players, and I think every offensive player's fantasy value certainly takes a step back when you don't have Cutler in the game. I mean, I just don't know what you're going to get out of Matt Barkley, who's never started an NFL game and looked pretty miserable in his relief appearance against Green Bay. By the way, in a couple minutes, we're going to be joined by Tim Baffo, writer for 670 Score, to have a little fun, because I know it hasn't been a fun season for Bears fans, but we're going to have fun on this Thanksgiving episode and talk about what we're thankful for. I do want to talk about Jay Cutler for a little bit. I'm not going to use this episode to discuss the future, what the Bears should do at quarterback, if this is it for Jay Cutler and how fitting it'd be that his final throw as a Bear was an interception. I do want to spend the next minute or two talking about what it's been like to cover him, because I started covering the team in 2013, and this was right after Jay had a second child. And from people who had covered the team before that, they saw a change in him in terms of how he went about his business. And he even admitted that he was a more mature person. Now he's got three kids. I never had an issue with the way he handled the media. I think if you asked Jay Cutler the right question, he gave you sometimes very insightful answers. I always enjoyed my media time with Jay Cutler. I was kind of looking forward to a month of press conferences with a guy that knew his fate and see what he could say. This is one of the most fascinating players, I think, in all of sports. When you think of his position, how much money he's making, who he's married to, the city he plays in, the history of the quarterback position in the city he plays in, and what he has done and probably more notably not done for this franchise. And we'll talk to Tim a little bit about kind of characterizing Jay Cutler's time in Chicago. But it's been a bumpy, weird ride. And I think anybody, as much as you might despise some of his decision-making or his turnovers or throwing off his back foot or not protecting the football, the guy made plays that no other Bears quarterback could make. He's a top of the record books for Bears passing, which probably says a little bit more about the Bears than it does Jay Cutler. And there's a lot of what-ifs for Jay Cutler's career. And we'll kind of dive into that at profootballweekly.com/Bears in the next week or two, if he is going on injury reserve. Again, we're taping this Wednesday morning. But I want to have a little fun, and we're going to talk to Tim Baffo of 670thescore.com. Because I wanted to have a little fun on our Thanksgiving week episode talking about a 2-8 football team, I wanted to bring on one of my favorite people to follow on Twitter and favorite writers, as Tim Baffo. You can follow him on Twitter at Tim Baffo. He writes for 670thescore.com. And Tim, I know you're excited to break down the 2-8 Chicago Bears.
Hey, you know, the Cubs won the World Series.
They did.
Yeah, it was great.
Well, Tim, thanks so much for joining us.
I appreciate you having me on, Kevin.
I said to somebody the other day, the loudest cheer I've heard at Soldier Field this season was after they beat the Vikings, not when they played Sweet Home Chicago, but when they played Go Cubs Go. That was the biggest cheer. So at least Soldier Field's audio people know what's up.
Yeah, it was nice that the not only just the Cubs winning the World Series, but just giving us a reason to sort of kind of ignore the reality that is the Chicago Bears for a while, but now we're back into that reality.
Yeah, we are. And as John Fox reminded us, there's still six games left, and they claim they have to play those six games. I think the jury's still out on that. I want to ask you for your favorite moment of the Jay Cutler era in Chicago.
Oh man,
there are many.
Yeah, there's just so much. I love Jay Cutler, and not because I think he's like a great football player or anything. I just love how much people hate him, and oftentimes irrationally. God, a favorite Cutler moment. I don't know if I have one. I mean, in a morbid way, I guess it's kind of when he tore his knee in that game and, you know, didn't come back in, and that just started the whole like Jay Cutler isn't tough thing that just really brought out like the stupid locally and nationally when talking about Jay Cutler. It was something that just like anybody who was kind of like 51% anti Cutler just went like 99% anti Cutler after that. And it was just so dumb, and it's been so dumb ever since, that in a weird unintentional way, Jay Cutler allowed people to really bring out the stupid in themselves, I guess.
Yeah, and I was just saying before you came on about from a reporter's perspective, I found him fascinating to cover because in that position, there is no one in the league like him that just, and I hate to use the Urban Myth meme, but he just doesn't care. And I find that sometimes refreshing. Like even when he made his comment about Donald Trump, I kind of appreciated that he did because there's guys like Tom Brady who are cowardly about it and won't even come forward. And Jay doesn't care. He knows a lot of people aren't going to agree with that, but he just went out and said it. And I think you hit on the head about the way fans are, but I was kind of surprised, Tim, because I feel like these Chicago tough Bears fans would like a guy like Jay Cutler that isn't a pretty boy that is kind of the gunslinger type, but he just, maybe it was because he never took them to great heights, or maybe it was because his personality just didn't mesh with people in this town that he never really was able to connect, or people or fans weren't able to really connect with him.
Yeah, and I mean, if you're winning, then anything about your personality, good, bad, or otherwise, really doesn't matter. But because like Jay Cutler and his Bears teams never won anything here, he gets hyper scrutinized. And I like you kind of touched on it. I've always found it hilarious that it seems like there are two kinds of people that hate Jay Cutler. The one kind is kind of what you mentioned. It's the sort of meatball Bear fan or like meatball football fan that just thinks like he doesn't look like he cares enough. After he throws an interception, he just shakes his head and walks away. Or, why isn't he jacking up his teammates? Those kind of idiots. And then the other group of people that hate Jay Cutler seem to be like these people that are channeling all their PTSD from high school of being the kids that got kind of picked on or just weren't cool enough or talented enough or pretty or handsome enough. And they look at Jay Cutler and they just see Jay Cutler as a guy who embodies like everything they could never be and kind of hate about the world and just kind of channel all that aggression onto him because he's a good looking dude who's obviously talented and has made it in life and just doesn't care about other people or what other people think about him. And in a private conversation, he would kind of make fun of you. And there's actually like reports that he has done that to people. And so people just see Jay Cutler as like, God, I hate that guy.
Another favorite Jay moment was recently Rich Campbell asked him at a press conference why he doesn't do any ads on TV. And Jay's response was, you guys know how much I make. I want to spend time with my family. I love that. That's great. It's real.
I'm not a Trump fan by any means, but like I don't begrudge Jay Cutler for saying that. And I appreciate him being open about, like you said, and Tom Brady not. And like I'm obviously against people, the way he deals with vaccinations with his kids, but at least he's like out there about it. And, he doesn't try to play politician.
Last one on Cutler, Tim. I think you'll have good advice for me. I'm going to a high school reunion on Friday. What do I do the first time somebody comes up to me? Because, with Facebook now, people know what I do for a living and starts asking me Cutler questions or just bashing Cutler. What's the appropriate response on my part? How do I get out of that conversation?
Just play a recording of everything I just said. Just have that ready. Yeah. Just have that ready on your phone or whatever and just say, here, I'm going to let Tim Baffo speak for me. Just tell people to ask themselves, why do you really hate Jay Cutler?
Yeah.
Or why do you get so much joy maybe out of Jay Cutler throwing an interception? What does that say about you?
Yeah, it's been quite a ride with Jay. And it's amazing when he's going to leave. He's going to leave as the longest tenured player on a really bad team, which brings me, of course, to Thanksgiving. Is there anything for Bears fans to be thankful for this holiday season?
I'm sure a lot of them are going to be thankful that maybe Cutler's played his last game, if that all those reports are true. I just said, I'm going to miss him. Because most of the reasons you said, I just find him so fascinating. I'm not going to miss his talent or anything. And I do understand the Bears need to move on, and I want the Bears to move on. But we've had this long relationship with Jay, and it's ending. A lot of people, I'm sure, are glad to get rid of him and thankful for that. They're also, be thankful that there's only six games left of this. I mean,
yeah.
I wrote a column the other day about how the Bears at least this past Sunday, like, really put forth a noble effort, even though they lost, and they, like, gave me sort of a reason to watch. Like, I didn't – after the Tampa game, I was kind of like, okay, I don't know why I should even watch this team anymore. And I did, and I lied to myself going into the Giants game. And the Bears kind of justified my lies to myself of why I should watch them. And then, of course, the following day, we get another PED suspension, and Cutler's probably out for the year and everything, so – I just don't know what else I could do to lie to myself to really get up and be interested in this team anymore. So at least there's only six more weeks of that.
What do you think fans think of the way John Fox is with the media? Because I think sometimes there is a fans think that us in the media whine about certain things and are petty, and we certainly are. Don't get me wrong. I was very cold in the Houston press box a few weeks ago and wanted to complain about it, but I chose not to. But I think sometimes I'm almost wondering if fans are, especially because of the record of the team, are starting to find reasons to, you know, have frustrations with the head coach, and maybe are starting to latch on to some of the things us in the media have struggles with the way he's so paranoid. So how have you kind of viewed, whether it's on Twitter or listening to radio callers or comments in your stories, the way people kind of view him in that regard?
Well, I think John and Jane Q Fan are never going to sympathize fully with media, and they don't really care what media think. And if anything, they want media to never complain about their personal situations whatsoever, because, hey, we get to write about sports. What do we have to complain about? But I think, like you said, with the fact that the Bears are 2-8 and John Fox kind of being abrasive with the media, he's certainly not helping himself with the fan perspective of him. I mean, he's definitely not helping himself with the media. And I think a lot of the times his attitudes with the media are just unfair and jerky. But I haven't heard fans like say too much like, man, that Fox, the way he talks to reporters is just wrong. The only times you really hear about that, I think, are when it's like cute or kitschy, like when you have like a Greg Popovich or a Bill Belichick who have these established resumes of success, and when they're, you know, jerks to media intentionally or unintentionally or tongue in cheekly, then it's like a thing. With Fox, I think it's just like people care so much more about the fact that the Bears are awful that like, that's just kind of in their periphery, but not totally their focus, I guess.
Yeah. Do you think that I've obviously seen a lot of fans tweet about tanking. You know, they want the Bears to tank. Certainly at this point, they don't really need to try to tank when you look who they're going to put on the field for the last six games. But, you know, I don't bother trying to explain it sometimes that football is not like the NBA or baseball. There's only 16 games. It's such a physical sport. You can't really ask guys to try less hard when they're out there. It's hard to do that. But I would assume safely, and I'm want to know your take, that most fans would prefer at this point that the Bears finish with a 3-13 record as opposed to a 6-10 record.
Oh, for sure. And I'm always pro tanking. If your season is fait accompli and you're not going to be winning a championship or making the playoffs or whatever, like I always say, you know, the best thing you can do is lose. Yeah, and you can't ask individual players to try to lose because they have contracts and things that they have to care about. And if you're also dogging it on the field, you increase your chance of getting injured. So, I mean, you can't tell guys to do that, but totally. Yeah, I mean, if the Bears could go 0-6 the rest of the way, that would be awesome.
Yeah, and they'll have Matt Barkley at quarterback, so it's certainly certainly possible. Joined here by Tim Baffa on our Thanksgiving special podcast. Go ahead and follow him on Twitter and check out all of his work at 670 Score. And he will remind you, of course, that the Cubs did win the World Series.
Won the World Series.
They did it. And it was a very exciting World Series. I think people forget that sometimes.
Everything was great in the world forever and nothing bad ever happened again in sports.
Yeah, that was it. It was everything, you know, time stopped right there. Nothing bad has happened since. I've talked about this on this show. I've read articles about it. You know this, Tim. When I'm at a Bears game, I see Walter Payton jerseys. I see Dick Butkus, Brian Urlacher. It's a fan base, you know, obviously that talks about the great players of old. And I think it's interesting when you have a player in Kyle Long, who's probably the easiest player for fans to gravitate to. He's the best player on the team. He's great with fans. He's great on Twitter. But he's a right guard. You know, are there players on this team that you've kind of grown to appreciate that you think maybe in a year or two, if this team gets good, that fans can start to, you know, get jerseys of guys that are actually on the current team?
Oh, God, great question. It is another weird, sad state of affairs when you're, like, most recognizable and arguably best guy is a right guard. Well, man, I mean, I wish I could say, you know, it should have been Alshon Jeffrey at some point. But, you know, now his situation and the fact that he's a shy guy, which I don't begrudge him. But, you know, Alshon's never done much to really, you know, put himself out there PR wise. Kevin White could be that guy, but I don't know who Kevin White is because I've never really gotten much of a chance to know who Kevin White is. There's some colorful personalities on the defense, but like those guys aren't, you know, your Pernell McPhees and whatnot are just, the fans don't really know them too much. And with the Bears losing, even though I think the defense has put up, you know, respectable showings with the mishmash unit that they have, it's the defense isn't something that, you know, Bears fans can even hang their hat on and therefore like identify with any of the players in that classic monsters of the midway defense kind of way. So yeah, as of right now, I don't know of any player that I would see like an uptick in jersey sales. I would say that that player is probably going to be whoever the Bears first round pick is, which I would assume would be a quarterback. So maybe that hypothetical guy is your new influx of jerseys at Soldier Field.
Right. And I think sometimes Bears fans and Cub fans are a little similar to me. And maybe this is because they're the two most popular teams in town generally. I mean, certainly the Bears' popularity has changed with the Blackhawks over the past few years. But in terms of going to the opposite ends of the spectrum, whether it's, you know, the joke when the Cubs lose one playoff game, everyone's freaking out, going off to the ledge. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Bears won the first game of the season, people are thinking Super Bowl. So with that in mind, what do you expect? And maybe what were your feeling be? Assuming they draft a quarterback first overall, is there going to be more of that excitement? This guy could be our future. Maybe this guy could be the next big thing. Or is there going to be like, oh, my God, what if he's Cade McNown?
I think initially it's going to be, all right, this is year one of a new Bears era. And, you know, all the Cutler stuff is now gone. Thanks, Jay. Bye, Jay. And I think fans are initially going to be positive. Now, let's say that hypothetical QB is thrown into a week one start on a probably not so great Bears team and the Bears lose 35-10. Well, then all the pitchforks and torches are immediately going to be out. But until that happens, I would assume you get the first round pick. If he's playing, fans are going to be positive. And if for some reason the first round quarterback isn't starting week one, you're going to have, you know, fans really clamoring for that because they're going to want this new fresh era to be full swing as soon as possible.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, as I said, things to be thankful for that you have this draft to look forward to. There are some young players on this team. For me, someone who likes taking pictures of empty stadium seats, I think I'll have a lot to add to the album in the final month of the season.
Especially how do you convince yourself to like go attend a Bears game in December when they're, you know, 2-10 or 3-10 or whatever? Like, I don't get that mindset. I get there's people that are super, you know, Bears fans and like, or maybe they'll say, I never get to go to games and I was given these tickets for free. Okay. But like, I don't like being cold, period. And I just couldn't see myself like just sitting in a stadium watching this Bears team right now. But hey, more power to you if you're somebody who does that.
Yeah, and actually, I was with a friend who told me he's thinking about going to the Christmas Eve game, and I said, why? He goes, well, I like to go to one game a year, and you should see how cheap the tickets are. So, I mean, like, it could be, like, the cheapest, like, the most affordable Bears game in recent memory.
And yeah, but the cheapest ticket's my couch, where I get the best view to everything, and the replays, and I'm not – listening to some guy next to me spout idiocy unless I voluntarily go and do that, like at a bar or something. Like, I don't know, whatever. But I guess people convince themselves that being there live is something special, whatever.
And I always tell people they could just follow all of us on Twitter. You know,
exactly.
And sometimes Biggs will tell you what happened on the field before you even see it on your TV. So it's great.
Although my Twitter account's going to take a massive hit because now I'm not going to be able to like just tweet pictures of Jay Cutler every time a touchdown is scored.
I'm already like, yeah, it's
like 75% of my Bears game in game tweets. But anyway,
yeah. I'll have to move on from that. It's our final time to go find those Jay Cutler GIFs to tweet out there. All right, Tim Beffo was our guest today on our Thanksgiving special podcast. Follow him on Twitter. Go check out his work at sixheaviestscore.com. Tim, before I let you go, your favorite Thanksgiving food?
I'm a person who, like, people get mad at me because, like, I don't think turkey is the greatest thing in the world. I think it's just, like, fine. Probably just, like, mashed potatoes. Like, people that can make really good mashed potatoes, I think, are key. And I have an aunt that makes really good mashed potatoes every year, and I eat the turkey and I eat, you know, most of the other stuff, but like the mashed potatoes are the key for me.
All right. Now everyone knows, and now we can be thankful that we know that. And I think it's important that everyone knows that.
And we can be thankful that the Cubs won the World Series.
There we go. All right, Tim, thanks so much for joining us, and have a good Thanksgiving.
You too, man. Thanks a lot for having me.
All right. That was Tim Beffo joining us on the PFW Chicago Football Podcast. Quick, one more ad for you, and this is perfect for holiday time. How would you like to get all of your favorite NFL teams merchandise delivered straight to your doorstep? This is going to be a great gift for you. You can find the team, you find your favorite team, and you get your team's gear shipped right to your door at fanessentials.net. Fanessentials.net. Go there. Prices start at just $34.99. And if you use our promo code Chicago at checkout, you'll get 30% off your first month. So fanessentials.net. Get all the gear you need for your favorite sports team. Not sure how many Bears fans will be signing up for that, but, you know, maybe you can get an even bigger discount. I'm not sure. But fanessentials.net. Use our promo code Chicago. All right, John, good stuff from Tim, one of my favorite people to follow on Twitter. He is hilarious, a great writer, and I know he follows the media and the team very closely, but he also, I mean, he's an admitted fan, and I think it's fun to get that kind of perspective on Jay Cutler. So, you know, what would be, I guess, your perspective on Jay's time here?
You know, I think that we ought to do just a Jay Cutler breakdown podcast on just his time here, what the expectations were. You know, he obviously didn't meet them, but how that affected things, and you know, what his time here really meant in Chicago. I feel like that's an entire, you know, perhaps even like hour long podcast. We could talk for days on Cutler and his impact and what that time was like here. But, you know, ultimately he had all the potential in the world, and on the field came up a little bit short. I think Tim brought up a great point with that NFC championship game when things turned on him. And I never blamed Cutler for that. That was a legitimate injury. And there were people that really couldn't wait to turn on Cutler. And that was the moment where they figured they could do that. And it was kind of downhill from there. But, I, you know, like you, I always sort of – Cutler was always interesting to me. And I always, as a, you know, journalist, I always appreciate guys who, if you ask a good question, will give you a good answer. And Jay Cutler always came off as a guy like that, and a guy who didn't suffer any fools when it came to bad questions. I love guys like that, where if you ask a bad question or a talk about question, he's just not going to give it to you. And I don't know. I've always appreciated guys like that who make you earn it. But when you do ask that correct question, a question that maybe forces him to be a little introspective, he was going to give you a good answer, and he was going to open up a little bit. So I always liked that about him.
Yeah, and I always think back to 2014. He's thrown under the bus by his offensive coordinator. He's benched by his desperate head coach, and he came out of that looking better than anybody else. And hey, you can't blame Jay for the fact that Phil Emery gave him a ridiculous contract, which at the time I wasn't for or against it. I just tried to explain to people why he got it. Like I understood where Emery was coming from. But you look back now, and obviously the Bears shouldn't have done that. But we'll have more time in the last few episodes, and whenever they make the final decision on Jay Cutler, to kind of eulogize, I guess, his career. But it looks like he certainly won't play on Sunday against the Titans. I guess, John, we should briefly mention the Bears do have a game on Sunday at noon against the Tennessee Titans on CBS. Marcus Mariota is having a nice season. Bears can look at who they were rumored to have been trying to trade up to get.
Man, and also a team, that is a great – I just want to interrupt here. That is a great what if in Bears and Jay Cutler history. If Ryan Pace was able to pull off that rumored draft day trade to go up and get Mariota, and Cutler would have been sent packing to the Titans. Yeah, I always wondered how that would have looked and how that would have happened.
And I think, too, fans are going to see a Titans team that actually does what the Bears claim they were going to do. That's commit to the run.
The exotic smash mouth.
Exotic smash mouth, and it's actually been working for the most part. I mean, Titans aren't great. The defense can be had, but, I mean, again, this Bears offense, who knows? I picked the Titans, I think, 24-13. No, that sounds like too normal of a score for me to pick. Maybe 26-12 was my Titans pick.
I mean, nobody's making extra points, so you have to go with an odd score, right?
Yeah, pretty much. So, yeah, I mean, that's true, and you might get some wind at Soldier Field on Sunday. Before we close up shop here, I want to remind you to add Bears_Insider on Snapchat. And you can kind of see the sights and sounds of Soldier Field with me on Sunday for Bears Titans. And I hope everyone has a wonderful Thanksgiving. John, do you have any tips for me as I dive into the 10-year high school reunion on Friday?
So I had mine a couple of years ago.
You're old, man.
I know. I am old. I had mine. Let's see. I graduated in 03, so I had mine 3 years ago. I'm still friends with a fair amount of people from high school, so it was not that awkward for me to sort of go find my circle of friends and sort of it turned into sort of like just hanging out, and there just happened to be a lot of people from high school in the room as well. But there, you're going to be surprised at the number of faces that you see where you go, I know you're familiar. I know we talked in high school. I cannot remember your name for the life of me. I had a lot of, unfortunately, a lot of those moments where it was like, I know we've had conversations, but I cannot remember your name. And maybe that's on me, but that was a little awkward. But where is your high school reunion? Or what is it like? Because we did ours at like a bar that had bowling and, you know, pool and snacks, and there was like a lot of areas to go converse. Where is yours being held at?
Ours is at a bar in River North.
That's perfect. You'll be totally fine.
Yeah. It's one of those places I would never go to, and but it's our reunion, so I'm gonna go. I'm excited to see a bunch of people that I grew up with that I just don't see very much anymore. And as I joked with Tim, I'm sure people have some Jay Cutler questions, and I'm happy to talk about the Bears. I don't mind doing it. I do it for a living. I'll bring you some feedback on next week's episode. That'll do it for this week's Thanksgiving special edition of PFW Chicago Football Podcast. Thank you so much for welcoming us into your homes on this holiday. Remember, you can subscribe on iTunes at the PFW Chicago Pro Football Weekly Chicago Podcast. Give us a 5-star rating, leave a review, that we would really appreciate it. Follow all of our Bears stuff on Twitter at Bears_insider. Check out our work, profootballweekly.com/bears. Go flip on WCIU Saturday morning at 10:30 a.m. for our Chicago Football Now television show. We preview Bears Titans and a really good feature by our other producer here, Dan Mott, did a feature on a great program in the suburbs called Beyond Sports. Does really great things for high school football players in the area. I want to thank our guest on today's show, Tim Baffo, and of course my producer, John Solly. For all of us at Shaw Media and at Pro Football Weekly, I'm Kevin Fishbane, wishing you a happy and healthy and wonderful Thanksgiving. It's my favorite holiday, and we'll have more Bears talk for you next week.